Parsha Bereishit, it says a guy went to the Kosel and he started reading Tehillim. And he started going through Tehillim. I don't know if you've ever been through Tehillim before, just from cover to cover, from the beginning to the end. It gets a little tedious, gets a little boring after a while. You start going through it, and when you hit like 50, you're just like, all right, third of the way done. But then you realize Kufiyat test is still coming. And you're just like, oh no, I totally forgot about Kufiyat test, you know? And you realize, like, it's sort of there. Yeah, you get to Kuf, and you're just like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And then eventually, it gets a lot easier. You know, the more you do it, the more you get used to it, then it's all good. But, like, to do all of Tehillim by yourself within a day, you know, it takes a couple hours, and it's like, it takes a lot of sitting. It takes a lot of just that ability to just sit and whatever. He started reading Tehillim. He wanted to inspire himself. And as he was going through it at the Kotel, he didn't feel anything at all. Then he got to number 146. Number 146. Anybody know what number 146 is?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. No.
Yeah,
it's right after.
Book, of course.
You should know it. When I say it, when I say it. Okay, you got to number 146. What? Yeah, he was going to it and he kept going, right? Well, you'll see. So he got to number 146 and all of a sudden he had like this hargasha, this like feeling of like he got up, he felt it. He felt like an unbelievable feeling. And he finished off number 147, 48, 49, 50. He finished off on like a high note. He was like all into it. But he couldn't understand it because he had a great feeling, but he didn't get quite why it took so long for him to get there. And why number 146? So he went to a Rav, and he asked, well, how could it be? You know, naturally, the newer something is to you, the more you get into it. The less often you do something, then all of a sudden you do something, it feels like something great, like something or whatever, right? But things that you're used to doing, things that you always do, it means nothing to you at all. What's number 146? It's Ashrei. I mean, that's not something that you would normally get into. The last six Tehillims are Ashrei and the five Halukas. Those are the last six parts of Tehillim. So, but why would that be? He says Ashrei three times a day. Every single day. It's not like he misses. All of a sudden, he's like getting really into it. So he said to his Rav, I don't get it. Why did I get into it by Ashrei? This is what he told him. He says, a person's heart is full of timtum alev. You're full of garbage. You're full of like all this garbage and filth and everything there. So it doesn't feel any little bit of Kedusha. But every pasuk of Tehillim is metayer you more and more and more. It purifies you more and more, and it keeps adding and adding and adding until finally it breaks through that timtum alev and it's able to get to you. You finally said Ashrei with a combination of all the other Tehillim at a time when you were at the Kotel, and at that point, that's when that Kedusha set in. That's when it was able to get in. Up until the point, you'd never be able to do it. The pasuk starts off in Bereishis. Bereishis bara Elokim. And everybody knows the famous Panach Raza. It's brought down by the Rishonim that the Sofei Tevos of Bereishis Bara Elokim, the last letters of each word, is Tav, Aleph, and Mem, which stand for Emes. Because the last letters of Bereishis Bara Elokim is Emes. So to show you that the Chosam, that the seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. So the question is, so why not do it Bereishis Tevos? And don't tell me, oh, how are you going to do that? Then you won't be able to have Bereishis Bara Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything. So don't tell me that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will figure out a way that MS could be the Rashi Tevos. But why should it be the Sofei Tevos and not the Rashi Tevos? Why would it be that Sofei Tevos? So Rav Shores is an unbelievable line. It says a person in the beginning of his avoda will never find the MS. It'll never happen. Kolas, Cholos, Koshos. Because he can't think that every time that a person starts off something and he doesn't find anything and he's not feeling a geschmack in his learning, he's just like, alright, that's it, I'm out. Can't feel that way. It's not always, it can't be that way. Rather, it's what? Don't give up. Keep going, keep going, keep going, and at the end, you'll feel the geschmack. It's at the very end, Bereishis Bara Elokim, the Sofei Tevos, once you learn it through, then you'll get to the MS. Then you'll be able to figure it all out. That's the idea behind it. That's what it means when the Ger Chassidim all say that the Derech to MS is only through Sheker. You have to start off in a way that seems so bad, and it takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of toil, and whatever it is, but that's the pshat. And that's the Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachos, Rosh Tevorcha Emes. The beginning of your words are Emes. Says the Gemara, Rosh Tevorcha Velo Sof Tevorcha? What about the end of your words? The end of your words are also Emes, aren't they? No. Mitoch Rosh Tevorcha. Because of your Rosh Tevorcha, your Sof Tevorcha become Emes. Only from what you see at the very, very end of the day are we nicker that we started off with was Emes, and it went all the way through, but it's never going to happen on day one. It's going to take a long time to be able to get there, and at the end, then it's going to be awesome. In the beginning, it stinks. In the beginning, it's really, really hard to get yourself into it. Do you remember that first day you started learning? Wherever it was, the first day when you really started? that first day that you just decided to go ahead and do it. You were like really into it as the first day of whatever, of yeshiva, of school, or whatever it was. You got really into it, and you went into it, and then like an hour into it, you're like, I'm bored. I can't take this anymore. You start off with like an excitement, and then all of a sudden it peters off, and then at the end, after weeks or months or years of toiling at it, then eventually it comes to you. That's the idea behind it. That's what we get to on day one. I'm starting a new sefer, Revel Yashiv. I'm doing Revel Yashiv on the Chumash this coming up here. That's Revel Yashiv, Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. I'm doing those three's farm. Those are my new ones for this year. So we'll see what it ends up taking us. I got to finish off the Chafetz Chaim a week, so I got to do stuff. So we're all around. So this Revel Yashiv, he's unbelievable. Vayavdel Elokim bin Oro bin Choshech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu separates between the light and between the dark. That now becomes our avoda. Here we go. To differentiate between what is good, what is or, and what's bad, what's considered Choshech. Yesh me'ayin. That was the first day of creation. Or in Choshech. I could have gone around the room and I could have asked that. I probably would have gotten, you know, six guys. But Or and Choshech were the first things created on that first day. To take the Or out of the Choshech is what we're supposed to do, but it's not so easy to define, says Rav Yashiv. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. What is Erev? How would you define Erev? Go for it, Snow. How would you define Erev?
Transition point?
I wouldn't say that by Erev. Just the word Erev. By Erev, by Yiboker. Not by Erev, by Yiboker. How do you translate by Erev, by Yiboker? It was night. Evening, right? Okay, when is the official Erev? You think nighttime. But it's not. The Korban Pesach has to be brought by Erev. When is it Erev? Says the Gemara, Mishienatu Tzlale HaErev. When it starts, when the sun starts to go down. 12:01 in the afternoon is Erev, according to the Gemara. The sun is in the middle of the sky. The middle of the sky is a little bit toward the west. That's Erev, according to the Gemara. How is that Erev? The sun's out. You have another 6 hours of daylight. Yet that's Erev. How can you tell? When's Boker? Alos HaShachar. If you stay up all night, go outside at Alos HaShachar. Look at the time. Look at what time it is. Go outside and go look out. You will see absolutely no difference between the darkness of the sky a minute before and a minute after Alos. It's only later on where it starts getting lighter and lighter, and then it becomes Misha Yakir. You can tell the difference between blue and green. And then all of a sudden, you can tell the difference between everything else. But it's only after a little bit that it becomes that way. It's crazy. How is that Boker? How is that Boker? It's nighttime. How could that possibly be called Boker? See, it's hard to be able to tell the difference between Erev and Boker. So how do you find the right path? How do you find the right way? How do you know what's right to do and what's wrong? Because this is what Rav Yashiv's point is. That sometimes it's hard to find that right path. Sometimes it's hard to say who's doing the right thing and who's doing the wrong thing. Because sometimes it's evening when the sun's in the middle of the sky. Or it's morning when the night is still raining. So what's going on? Raining is in R-E-I-G-N-I-N-G. Not as in raining, as in... Okay. My initial assumption was that the person to go to would be a Rebbe, right? Who could show you the right path. Rav Yashiv brought a famous Gemara. Unbelievable. Sanhedrin Daf Samach Dalet. The famous Gemara when Anshei Knesset Gedolah wanted to get rid of the Yitzhar of Avodah Zarah. Right? So they wanted to get rid of the Yitzhar of Avodah Zarah. So they davened. And they davened, and they davened, and they davened. And they saw... Nafak Asa Ki Gurya Denura Mibetz Kodesh HaKadoshim. There came out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim this lion of fire that came roaring out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And a Navi, Amalu Navi Li Yisrael, the Navi said to the Jews, that's Hainu Yitzhar Avodah Zarah. That's Yitzhar of Avodah Zarah. And they're able to capture it and destroy it, and that's why there's no Avodah Zarah, no type of Avodah Zarah by Jews left in the world. Jews don't have that type of Avodah Zarah like they used to back then. That's a Pella. I've never, ever made this diac before. I've never heard anyone make this diac before. But it's the most simple diac anybody could possibly make. Why in the world is the Yitzhar of Avodah Zarah hanging out in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? What you doing hanging out there? What's there to do in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? It's the Yitzhar for Avodah Zarah. Not a Yitzhar Tov. Yitzhar for Avodah Zarah. And where is it? In the Aron Kodesh... In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Beis HaMikdash. Why is it there? And it came out, and the only person who knew what it was the Navi. Amalu Navi Yisrael, Hayinu Yisrael Avodah Zarah. That is the Yitzhar of Avodah Zarah, because nobody knew. No one had any idea. Says Rav Yashiv, it's a power. without Siyata Dishmaya, you'll have absolutely no idea what the difference is between a Yitzhar and a Yitzhar Tov. You're about to do a mitzvah. Is that a Yitzhar Har telling you to do it, or a Yitzhar Tov telling you to do it? You think it's a Yitzhar Tov, but it could very well be the Yitzhar Hara. You're about to do an Aveira. Is that a Yitzhar Har or a Yitzhar Tov? It could very well be your Yitzhar Tov. You have absolutely no idea, because we don't know where we are. So now what do you do? You can't just go to a Rav on that, because every person is different. A Rav can't explain for every person. Maybe he could explain himself. But there's something. There's a muscle the Chafetz Chaim always gives of a guy who's going through the forest and he's trying to find the path, the way out of the forest. Tries one path, it doesn't work. Tries another path, it doesn't work. And he finds an old man, a really old man. He's like, oh, this guy for sure knows the way out. He looks like he's been here for billions of years. He's the guy for sure. So he goes up to him and he says, old man, how do I get out? He says to him, I don't know the right path out, otherwise I'd be out. But I can tell you what paths don't work. And they'll tell you what paths not to go on. Maybe if we were together, we'll be able to find the one path that does work. That's the idea. Yeah, you're right. You might not be able to find that one person who's able to tell you exactly where to go. But he'll tell you where not to go. He'll tell you what not to do. That's the idea behind it. And hopefully we'll be able to get there, but we have more. Another example. Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Dalet. Okay. Pasuk says, Vayu Le'osos. It's what was created on the fourth day? The fourth day?
Stars and planets.
Very good. Noah, you saved us all. Stars, planets, sun and the moon. Right, that was created on that day. So what does it say about the sun and the moon and the stars? It says, Vayu Le'osos Le'moadim. And the bird should be for shunim. It should be for signs. So Rashi says, by Vayu Le'osos, it should be for signs. It should be like something. If the chama is loket, the chama looks like it's red, that means that the rishayim are going to have a bad time. And if it looks like if the sun is doing well, if it's slanted, something like that, it's going to be a good sign for everybody else. There are ways to tell certain things from the sun. And then it's also there for the years and everything like that. And then the very next pasuk it says, it'll shine on the earth. And Rashi says, this is the lashon of Rashi, Od zos yishamshu. This is another thing that the sun is going to do. You go up to any scientist in the world, and you ask him, why do we have a sun? Why did the world need a sun? What's he going to tell you? He's going to tell you what?
Light.
To give you light, as well as life on Earth, as well as everything else that we have from it. Well, what do we have from the sun? Photosynthesis. Oh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. We have a good one. Right? The ability to see. Without the sun, we wouldn't be able to see anything. So what a silly question, right? To warm you up, we'd be freezing cold if we didn't have a sun. The sun has myriads of purposes. All of them are because it lights up, because of its light, right? No. Says Rashi. What's the real purpose for the sun? Rashi says the real purpose for the sun is to give us signs. To know where we are and to know when the months come in. But really, it didn't have to give any light. Od zos yishamshu. It does something else as well. It gives us light. It does something different. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu could have given us light in any other way. Haraya, there was an aura gunus. There was an aura on the first day that didn't involve the sun. We don't need the sun for light. How messed up is our world? How messed up are we? That we look at the sun and we say, like, the only reason why we have the sun is because we need it for light. Or the only reason why we need the sun is we need it for heat. It's not true. That's the other reason why it's here. The real reason why it's here is for Osos and Moadim and Shunim. That's the real reason why. And by the way, Akash Baruch was like, you know what? What the heck? We'll just make you light up also. And we'll give you some heat also. That's what the sun is also there for. That's crazy. But what's crazy is that Rashi caught it. Rashi says, Od zos yishamshu. This is another reason why the sun should be used. That's absolutely crazy. How in the world, says the Chafetz Chaim, are we able to see anything in this world? Are we able to figure out anything? That's why you don't ask questions of my Sephrishis. You don't ask any questions. You know nothing. You know nothing about my Sephrishis. You know absolutely nothing. There's nothing we can do about it. We can go through it hundreds and hundreds of times. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He gives us a total of 28 psukim and says, here's how I created the world. Good luck. Good luck. Try to figure out what I wanted with it. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. You'd think you'd spend you spend 54 psukim repeating Eliezer's statement, you know, of going through the whole story of how we got over to go find a wife for Yitzchak. 54 psukim, 60 psukim, telling over what he did, how he got there, and everything else, and 28 psukim on the creation of the world. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Made this really easy for me. Unbelievably easy. It's unreal how we know absolutely nothing about any of it. Now you can understand Rabbi Yitzchak's statement. Rabbi Yitzchak made a statement in the very first Rashi in Bereishis. And his statement was, why does the Torah start off with the stories? Going through Bereishis, Bara Elokim, and everything regarding all this. Why not start off with the first mitzvah? What's the very first mitzvah that we got? HaKodesh HaZelachem. Start off with HaKodesh HaZelachem. What are you starting off with the beginning of Bereishis for? The answer is, Koach Masov, Higid Lama. The greatness of his works, he tried to tell over to his people. So we can prove, says Rashi, that we're not listim to the non-Jews. To all the non-Jews that are there, we'll tell them we're not listim. We're not getting into the whole listim business. That's whatever. Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to start with this. But what's this question? What's the idea of you could have started off with the Chodesh Zedalachan? I mean, if we would have started off with the Chodesh Zedalachan, and we would have put Bereishis at the end of the Torah, wouldn't you have asked the exact same question? Why not start off with the creation of the world, and then get into the mitzvos? It's circuitous logic. You can either start one way, and then you can ask the question this way, or you start the other way, and you answer the question the other way. I mean, either way, you're going to have a question. So what's the purpose of starting at this? What's the question? Says the Chofetz Chaim. Because the real purpose behind the creation of the world, you know, what's the purpose of the creation of the world? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? For us to be able to have Torah mitzvos, obviously, right? Stories are nice. But what are stories going to do for me? They teach us how to act. They teach us how to be good people. I understand that that's where we're going to be coming from, but that's not the anchor behind the Torah. What's the anchor behind the Torah? To be able to get us to do mitzvos. So why spend 15 parshios? 15 parshios to get us up to the very first mitzvah, explaining who we are, where we went, how we got there, and how we're supposed to be there. Why would you go ahead and do that? Why do that if the whole purpose is to get to the mitzvahs in the first place? The whole point is the meat and potatoes of the mitzvahs. The answer is, it's so simple. You ever had a meal where they just served you the meat and potatoes? You feel like you were cheated. You're just like, where's the soup? They're just like, there's no soup. It's just the main dish. You're just like, what, no bread? No bread. Not even garlic bread? Not even garlic bread. Kind of like a meatball? No. It's not happening. Something. Salad? No. Nothing. It's not good when you just have the meat and potatoes. Why? The appetizer is sort of like whet your appetite. W-H-E-T. I'm helping you guys with your vocabulary and your spelling. It whets your appetite. It, like, gets you ready. It, like, gets you into it a little bit. You, like, sit there and you're just like, oh, I got a little bit of salad, and I got a little bit of this. You, like, open yourself up. Don't be silly. Don't fill yourself up on salad. That would be a silly thing to do. You got meat coming. And you know there's a main meal, Corey. You know there's a main course coming. But the idea is, you take a little bit of it, you take a little taste, you have a little bit of it, and just a little bit. Four meatballs, a little bit of salad. You have a salad plate that's smaller than your regular plate, right? It makes sense. You don't fill yourself up on bread. I don't care how good the bread is. You never fill yourself up on bread. It's a bad thing to do. always reminds me such a Musser Haskell from The Simpsons. Always a Musser Haskell from The Simpsons. Or Homer Simpson is in the contest, the eating contest. I forget what it is. He's like a meat-eating contest. You know what I'm talking about? He's like, he goes up against the guy, like, eating steak. I'm like, you see the other guy. Like, they say, all right, start. And the other guy's like, like that, right? And then they turn to Homer, and they're just like, Homer, you seem like buttering the bread. It's just like, don't worry about the bread. Just go for the steak. And he's like, oh, right. And he throws away the bread, and he starts eating the steak. It's like, such Musser Haskell. You get so caught up in, like, the little tiny things, you forget that the whole point is the meat. You forget what you're doing. You forget what you're there for. Here's the pshat. It's ma gadlu ma secha Hashem, but ma'od amku machshavo secha. Ma gadlu ma secha Hashem. How great are your works, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ma'od amku machshavo secha. But your machshavos are so much deeper. If you look into the machshavos of Bereishis, into the stories that's there, the idea behind the hanhagas habriya, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world, and why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this world, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to run, that brings you more emuna, which gives you more of an appetite for the rest of the Torah. That's what, if you just start off with a mitzvah, it's like learning a Rambam. You ever tried learning the Rambam before? You learn a couple simanim, then all of a sudden you're just like, all right, I'm done. Like, that's enough halakha for today. I can't just keep doing halakha after halakha after halakha. That's why Gemara is always awesome. There's always that little bit of a gadata thrown in there. You're like, ooh, and then it ends. And you're just like, ah. Oh. But you have that, like, tiny little bit of a gadata that, like, excites you for a little bit, and then it's gone. And then you have to get back, right back into business. Right back into getting into the halacha. It's the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to build ourselves up. To build up your emunah first, to get yourself into there, to know the why, what you're doing is right. And then, you get right into the mitzvos. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do. And that helps us be able to understand who we are and what we're doing. So if people come up to us and say, you're listim, you're robbers, you stole Eretz Yisrael, we'll say to them, what are you talking about? You don't understand why I did this in the first place. You don't realize what my history is, where I come from. If you knew that, then you wouldn't have any problems. You know, Chafetz Chaim was so machmir in this. A teacher came up to the Chafetz Chaim once and he said, should I tell my kids Gedolim stories? You know, stories with the Shach and the Taz, the Bach. He was back in the 1900s. They didn't have Chafetz Chaim stories, really. But he told them, like, should I tell them over all these stories? And the Chafetz Chaim said to him, no need. There's no need to tell any other story than simply Seder Bereishis. Anything that a person needs to build up their emuna is there in Bereishis. And at the end of his life, Chafetz Chaim had a set Seder learning Bereishis Chumash Rashi. That's it. Nothing else. I don't think he had any issues in emuna. I doubt it. It's Chafetz Chaim. But even if I said he did, that would be Lashon Hara and he'd kill me. That wouldn't be a good thing. He wouldn't want that, something like that. But he did it. Simply put, because emuna pshuta is so important. So important. There was something there. What were you going to say, son?
Yeah, they asked him what it does for physical emunah.
Bracious. It's just bracious. Chumash Rashi. That's unbelievable. That's all you have to do. Just read it through. He says every story that a person needs for pure emunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right there. It's right there. Just read it through. Chumash Rashi, period. You're done. That's that. That, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, is Pshatian Bereishis Bara. Bara is weird. Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Shemayim Es Aretz. What does that sound like? How do you translate those words? Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Shemayim Es Aretz. In the beginning, go ahead. God created. Isn't that past tense? Shouldn't it be God is creating or God will create? He hasn't done it yet. I mean, at the time where you're reading it in the Torah, He didn't create Shemayim Aretz yet. That was done by the sixth day. Shemayim Aretz, if anything, was done on the sixth day. Maybe you want to say, oh, there's a bit of Shemayim Aretz within Oren Choshech that was created on the first day. Whatever you want to say, regardless, Bara is not the word. It should be Baro. Bereish is Baro Elokim as Shemayim as Aretz, that he created in present tense, or at least future, something like that.
Why? If it's after the fact.
It's not. He hasn't created it yet. Meaning, you're talking about us. Mm-hmm. But the present tense is going to where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was at the time. And the next thing, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, is not in past tense, and God said, it's, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying right then, Yehi Or, Vayehi Or, and then there became light.
It should be switched. It's supposed to say, Bereishis Bara Elokim Shemayim Aretz, Bereishis Bara Elokim,
Or V'choshech. Is also another question. That's another question.
That should be the question.
That is another question. Why it says Shemayim Aretz when it's really Or V'choshech? But I would have, if I was there, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like, gee, how do you think you should start the Torah? I would have been like, well, Bara is not the right way. I would have given this line, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Shemayim Es Aretz. I would have thought that's a perfect line for Hatzir Vayehu Hashemayim Ba'aretz. And that's Bereishis Bara Elokim Es Shemayim Es Aretz. It's perfect, past tense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the beginning, he created it first. But he didn't. He didn't ask me. And, I guess he's always right. So, there's got to be a reason. He says, Ramosha, it's a remes. He gives two different answers, but he gives one of his answers is a remez. Bereishis, in the beginning, before you do anything else, before you learn any Divrei Torah, you're mukhruch to know that Bara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created the world. That's the very first thing you need to know. Because you can't consider yourself a shomer mitzvos, that you're doing the mitzvos and doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do, no matter how much you're doing. Unless you're mamin, you believe 100% that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Otherwise, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need you to do that for? That's why we start off the Torah that way, to give you that remez. Bereishis Bara Elokim. The remez of in the beginning, first, before you do anything else, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Now that, we'll now finally be able to get to the point of this year. That's all Hakdama. It was all an introduction. Why do you need an introduction? Because usually when you talk about a creature of this type, people go a little bit crazy. Like, I've never heard of this before, I've never seen this before, there's no such creature in the world, it's absolutely impossible, there's no such way, it must be Chazal were joking, or they weren't intelligent, or they were gullible, they didn't believe in it. No, I got into unicorns before, that's totally different. What? No. Yeah, for sure existed. This is better. Pasuk says, "Vatitain gam liisha nechava," when she gave the fruit over to her husband, to Adam Rishon to eat.
Isha was the future.
No. It says, Gam, Rash says, L'rabos behema v'chaya. The question is, there may be death by people. Why is there death by animals? Animals didn't eat from the Eitz Hadas. The answer is, they did. Chava gave to them also. And all the animals lined up. And she gave them a little bit of the grape juice, a little bit of the wheat, a little bit of the bread, a little bit of the esrog juice, or a little bit of the fig cake, or not the apple juice. That didn't happen. That was in Christian law. Either way, but one of these, she like did something, and she gave it over to every animal in the world, except for one. There's only one animal that didn't eat. Bereshis Rabba. No.
Phoenix.
No, the snake ate beforehand, the phoenix. The phoenix. The Medrash Rabbah says in this pasuk, one bird called the chol. The chol. Rabbi Yanai says in the Medrash Rabbah on the chol, that the chol lives for 1,000 years. And then an ish goes out from its nest, and it consumes it. And then Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shimon says that its wings melt down, its body is destroyed, and only a kibetza is left of it. And from that, it grows again. It grows again, and it becomes a brand new bird. But it's the same bird that it was before. This is the story of the phoenix. If you've seen Harry Potter, you already know this. You don't even need me. She took care of this. But it's a Medrash Rabbah. It's a Medrash Rabbah. This is not like, oh, yeah, I'm sure she got it from the Medrash Rabbah. it's called Chol in Tanakh because its body is like the sand of the earth that it could be put back together. In Aramaic, it's called the Orshina. In English or Latin, it's called the phoenix. The Marl Diskin, Rav of Yerushalayim at the turn of the century, he gives a pshat regarding this creature, about this creature. And why is it brought up? Why was it ever brought up anywhere? Here's pshat. Job, is lamenting the fact that he doesn't think he's going to have Chiyas Mesim. After all these terrible things happen to him, he's lamenting that there's no way that he's going to have Chiyas Mesim. But the bird does. How is the bird zocher to Tchias HaMesim? Well, I'm not zocher to Tchias HaMesim. That's what Eve was saying. Eve was complaining. How is it shayach that there's such a bird that's shayach to this and I'm not? That's how it's brought up in Tanakh. And it's brought up there. It's in Eve. Oh, I forgot where it is. Laman Gimel, I think it is. Perak Laman Gimel. Where it brings down the chol. Brings down that creature called the chol. Sanhedrin Kuf Ches. Shame is asked by Eliyahu HaNavi. What was it like on the Teva? What was it like on the Teva? And Shem said, we were bitzar gavel. Unbelievable amounts of pain. We never slept. We ran from one creature to the other. You know, feeding this animal and this animal. Some eat during the day. Those are called diurnal animals. Some eat at night. Those are called nocturnal animals.
Was it
Elisha
or Leo?
Eliyahu HaNavi.
Was it like one of those things when you used to go to all the different people in the morning to...
Oh, I don't know when it was. I don't know when this was. I don't know when it happened. But Eliyahu HaNavi asked Shane. That's what the Gemara says.
Why is he asking?
Wouldn't you? I mean, if you had the chance. What was it like? Yeah, I don't know. Probably to learn like what they were doing the whole time. Like how they survived during that year. She said to him, we were mamash bitzar gavel. So one time when they were feeding, the Gemara says, Noach looked around and he saw one bird that was sitting in the corner that wasn't going for any food. And he went up to him. It was the Orshina bird, this phoenix. And he went up to him and said, why didn't you come to me? Why didn't you come for food? And the phoenix said, you looked busy. I didn't want to bother you. I didn't want to bother you while you had to take care of all the other animals. So Noach said, I give you a bracha. Yehei rava delo tamos. It should be God's will that you don't die. Now that's strange.
Was there only one?
That's a great call. It seems like there's only one. The Marsha asks on the spot. He says, wait a second. I thought that the reason why it lives forever is because it didn't eat from the Eitz Hadas. Now you're telling me it lives forever because of the bracha of Noach. He blabs sarachim. How could it be? How could it possibly be? Here we go. There's an easy answer, says Marl Diskin. Adam was originally made, when he was first made, before he sinned, with yesodos, with some type of yesod in his body that was unable to be destroyed on its own. It was unable to be knocked down. There was no way for him to naturally die because whatever he was made of wouldn't rot. It wouldn't rot. He was born with a 20-year-old body, and a 20-year-old body would remain forever. He would never change. You know, that I just passed a store in the mall as we were on our way to one of these shoe stores, and it said 21 forever. I'm like, oh, like other Marishim. That was exactly what I was thinking when I passed by. Apparently, it's a big store. But that's what my wife tells me. But either way, regardless, it makes sense. 21 forever. Oh. But there's an easy answer. It's such an easy answer. That's how Adam Rishon was originally made. Couldn't be destroyed in his own. Eating the Eitz Hadas brought rot into his bones. You know what it says when rot is brought into your bones? You have kinna, jealousy. Jealousy comes in and it rots your bones. That's what jealousy does. It destroys all your bones and takes you down. That's the source of kinna. And kinna can kill you if you use it improperly. The phoenix kept those yesodos. He never lost it. So he could naturally live forever. But Noah worried maybe he would be killed by someone. Naturally, it should live forever. But what happens if someone shoots it? Then what do you happen? There's always duck hunts. So now what do you do then? What's going to happen if that happens? Someone's going to take that gun, shoot at it, and now what are you going to do? The answer is that Noah's bracha was that it would never be killed. So now it'll naturally live forever, and it'll never be able to be killed by anybody else. That way, everything will be all good. And that's why it hid in the teva. It had no kinna for all the other animals. All the other animals are eating. It doesn't care. It sits there and it's like, it's just fine. What difference does it make to me? It didn't care. That's what was hiding in the middle of the teva. So why does it burn up first? If it can live forever, then why does it burn up after every 1,000 years? So what's pshat? No, it's more than that. Pshat is, Ein kol chodesh tachas hashemesh. Do you have any idea? It's unbelievable. Tchias HaMesim is going to exist in this world. But everything, Ein kol chodesh tachas hashemesh, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that could possibly exist in this world had to have been created before Shabbos. So where's Tchias HaMesim? Where did Tchias HaMesim get created? The answer is, does it say Tchias HaMesim was created by Ben
Hashmashim?
There's
why
nothing.
Why is it creating?
Tchias HaMesim? The concept of Tchias HaMesim of bringing back the dead? There's no such thing as dead until Adam Rishon sinned. So where you have the concept of bringing the dead back to life, you can say it. This is the Marl Diskin's question, and I can hear it. I hear it very, very well. The answer is, he created the phoenix. There was one bird that didn't eat. I have no idea what a Kodesh Baruch would have done if the phoenix ate it. Maybe he would have created something, Bein HaShemashos, that would have been able to live and then die and then get brought back to life. Maybe that's what he would have done. He would have created a new creature that would have been that way. Maybe it would have been a dragon. Who knows? We have absolutely no idea. But the phoenix was created for that reason. It's a raya that Tchias HaMesim will exist from Shishu the Mebereshis. And it's there. Its purpose in this world is to prove the concept of Tchias HaMesim within our Bria. Because everything has a purpose and everything is here for a reason. So wait, yeah.
Does that mean the phoenix is alive?
100%. Someone. You can for sure find it. I'm guessing right now that it's very hard to find. We've got a big world and there's only one. Yes, 100%. I have no idea what happened to its mate. Maybe its mate ate from the tree. So it's able to live forever. You like that? No, its mate ate. No, ate the phoenix now.
How big was it?
It was able to be there. We have absolutely no idea. Doesn't say how big it is. We don't know any other information from this bird. The only thing it's there for is Tchias HaMesim. That's all it's supposed to be there for. That's all it's supposed to be. I was never zocher to see the movie, so I don't know. But from the book, it doesn't seem so big. You're right.
Didn't Adam die?
What?
Didn't Adam die before Shabbos?
No.
He didn't?
No.
But he did have the... Did he eat from the Eitz Hadas before then?
Okay.
So then there was already a concept of death before then.
But there was no concept of living after death.
But living after death would just be a kind of a regeneration of... It's the opposite of decay.
I hear it. But if that's the only issue you have with the Marl Diskin's question, I can answer that. If there are more questions along those lines, I hear it. But the Marl Diskin's question is, how does Tchias HaMesim have something from before Shesh Mevereshis? I can hear the question in order to give the answer that the phoenix is that proof. I like that a lot better than the answer of, well, come on, you know, it could have been anyway. Like, I hear it better. So I'll give you that, but I'm not going to... I think the question is better than... the answer that you're giving for it, but his answer, I think, is brilliant. I think that answer is brilliant. So that's why I'm giving that question to the Marl Diskin. Marl Diskin won. Jordy Stein, right now, zero. For now. Okay, for right now. Summary, MS only comes in the end. It never comes in the beginning, and that's why we have Sofei Tevis Bereishis Bara Elokim. It's hard to differentiate between Or and Choshech. because you never know when Orez, you never know what Choshech is. The sun's purpose, for example, how to tell the difference between something in this world, we know nothing. What's the sun's purpose? Just look at those Rashis. Check out those Rashis on the sun. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. There's no other word. It's like Devin Hester-esque. That's all you can say behind the sun's purpose. Stories and then mitzvos. The purpose behind it is to build up our emunah and to get us somewhere. And the final thing is the phoenix is our proof of Tchias Mason. Our proof of Tchias Mason is 100% that phoenix, the idea behind it, and that's the idea behind such a concept. The reason why we have it in the world, and we should have more of those. It's always good to have more phoenixes in the world. Guys, we will stop with that.